We have so many different dimensions. We have the physical body, we have our emotions, we have our mind, we have our hearts, we have our souls. But we are living as if we only have bodies and minds. We are overstimulating our minds and overstimulating our bodies. Like we eat so much more than we need and we think so much more than we need. But we don't feel what is actually going on inside of us. We don't listen to our hearts enough.
Hello and welcome to the Connectedness Podcast. Just as you might have guessed, I talk about connection and connectedness on this podcast, our connection with everything in the world around us. Whether you see it or not, we're all connected, and it doesn't matter if it's our dog, our cat, our God, our body. And I'll also talk about some more abstract connections like our career or our land, our community, our emotions, your body. Life is all about connection, so the sooner we recognize that, the sooner we can have an easier, more meaningful life. I will talk about these connections through different lenses, things like synchronicities and coincidences, or just everyday little bits of magic and miracles that we usually dismiss. It's really important that we pay attention to all of this so we can live an easier, more meaningful life. So welcome to the show. I'm your host, Karen Cleveland. Welcome back, everyone. So great to have you here connecting with us on the Connectedness Podcast. Today, I'm super excited to introduce you to Aline Ra M. She is a spiritual guide and coach, a healer, and a teacher. She guides clients to live purposefully from their hearts, fostering a direct, self-sustained connection to the divine within. Aline masterfully and cleverly blends deep insights about spirituality with practical tips that speak directly to the authentic spiritual growth in the modern world, which is very important to be in the modern world with all this. She offers one-on-one coaching, mentorship, online courses, advanced in-person and remote healing sessions, workshops, and much more. So welcome to the show, Aline.
Thank you for having me, Karen. Super excited to be here today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to talk with you today. So let's just try to get a feel for how you came to this arena in life. What's your background that led you up to doing this spiritual coaching and being a guide like that?
Yeah, so I started on this path very early in my life as a teenager. I had a natural opening. I started hearing voices when I was around 10 and 11 years old.
Oh.
And that was a bit difficult for me to handle, but that was what propelled me to even question, what is this place?
Yeah.
Because clearly there was something more. So that was my drive. So I started on this path very early, given this natural opening that I had. At the same time, I didn't talk much to people about it. I was quite self-judgmental, could I say? Both my parents are scientists. I wasn't in a home that was very supportive. Right. Of spirituality. So I kept it to myself for a very long time. And I went to business school and I worked in different kinds of companies. And I kept all my spiritual inclinations to myself, studying in different lineages and doing different practices until my late 20s. That's when I felt I couldn't break myself into anymore.
Mm.
And then I left my regular life, so to speak, my full-time job, my relationship, and my home, to go deeper within myself. But up to this moment, it was still only my personal journey. I never thought I was actually going to work with it. And it was a couple of years later that I received a very intense message through 1 second. It was the most intense second of my life. It was as reading a 1,000 pages book in 1 second.
Were you meditating or what were you doing at the time?
I actually was not meditating. I was resting.
Okay.
I mean, it was full moon, it was Capricorn and all those things, but I was literally just resting. And out of nowhere came this flash and it said everything. It said, this is who you are. This is what you do. This is your method. This is your colors. This is your slogan. This is everything. It felt like I got out of it, like just knowing what to do.
You got the entire business plan right there in 1 second.
Well, yeah, it was about the energy. It was about what the mission itself was. So for instance, a lot of people working in spirituality work with very light colors. It's a lot of white and a lot of blue.
Yeah.
And the message for me was like, it's red. Your color is red. It's the power of love. It's the power of spirituality. It's the willingness that comes with love. So it's a bit different than many other aspects. But I mean, it is, I mean, spirituality requires a lot of discipline and commitment and devotion. So this is what I'm bringing, part of that. Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, as a child, of course, it's hard to talk about any of that kind of stuff, as you found out, depending especially on what kind of culture and family you're in. But even as adults, a lot of people still haven't connected with other adults that talk about this kind of stuff. So then did you start following that guidance right away, or did it take you a while to implement?
It took me a while to implement. I knew the message was, I mean, it was the strong second of my life. And I was already on my own path. So, of course, I kept with my own practices as I was already doing. But there was a lot of self-criticism of who am I to call myself a guide? Like, there's such a strong term to say I am a spiritual guide. And then I had to work on my own self-worth and self-acceptance and self-love to embrace that message that I knew was true. But I was just so skeptical of how the world would handle that. And when I was working with that within myself, the messages that I kept receiving was, you know, Aileen, some people are mathematicians and they teach mathematics, and some people teach history. You're just teaching spirituality. It's not a big deal. It's just another topic of the many topics human require. And with that, I started being able to say more openly to people, I'm a spiritual guide and this is my gift, and other people have other gifts and we need all gifts.
Right, you know? Right. Very good. Yeah. And your scientist family, how are they with that?
Well, at first they struggled with it a bit, but now they see that I'm much happier and I can make environments happier, that the family is better when I am around. So,
yeah.
So they leave at that. It's like everything is working well. So yeah, why make a fuss?
Nice. That's good. So you talk some about people being confused. And
yes,
what can you tell us about that? Why are we as a people so confused?
Because we're deeply disconnected from our hearts and our souls. Mm. We think that clarity is about overthinking and mental clarity. Really, we think of clarity only as an attribute of the mind. But confusion in the sense of knowing what we want comes from actually knowing ourselves. So that's a key aspect of it. We have so many different dimensions. We have the physical body. We have our emotions. We have our mind. We have our hearts. We have our souls. But we are living as if we only have bodies and minds. We are overstimulating our minds and overstimulating our bodies. Like, we eat so much more than we need and we think so much more than we need. But we don't feel what is actually going on inside of us. We don't listen to our hearts enough. And we don't nurture our soul, you know. We need more beauty. We need more silence. We need more connection. And by not giving ourselves those things, we're starving ourselves without realizing. And we need to re-nurture ourselves to recreate and reestablish that connection. So that is one key aspect, our disconnection. At the same time, many of us actually know what we want when we say we are confused. But we have exactly the same issue that I was just talking about myself when I first got that message, which is lack of self-acceptance. Sometimes it's very hard for us to face what we want and to acknowledge it to ourselves. So it is, in a way, we end up saying we're confused because we don't want to face it, because we are having self-worthiness issues, or simply because we say, we're not good enough, or I haven't studied enough for that, or the people can do this better. And so we end up saying that we are confused when we are actually having an issue embracing what we want.
Interesting.
So that's another aspect. And then there's a third and last aspect of, like, this main aspect of confusion, that is lack of self-responsibility. Because once we acknowledge what we want, there is nothing between what we want and us besides we doing the work to get it, to make it real. And we humans struggle with commitment and responsibility. And therefore, it becomes easier for us to say we don't know what we want, because facing that we know means doing the work to make it true.
So true.
So these three pillars of confusion, as I say, lack of self-connection, lack of self-acceptance, and lack of self-responsibility.
Uh-huh. And someone just made me aware of saying, I don't know, or I forget, like in a conversation, is just as you just mentioned, you know, kind of a sign of self-worthiness, or in some cases, maybe some past trauma about saying something and being ridiculed or, you know, being shushed for saying things. So very interesting. Do you find that one seems to be more prevalent with your clients than another one, like the disconnection or the lack of wanting to commit to it? Or are they all about the same throughout all your clients?
Definitely the lack of self-acceptance is the one that I see the most. It is hard to acknowledge to other people what we truly want, but it is also hard to acknowledge to ourselves.
Yeah.
And especially in a society that is changing values and roles so often, I see sometimes women like me having difficulties stating that they actually want a husband and a family and a dog, you know, as if that was almost wrong to want these days. So there is the aspect of social pressure as well, that there are certain things that we should want and other things that are old-fashioned for some people that makes a few people too self-conscious and ashamed of themselves. And simply dreams that they think are childish, like I want to be a famous writer or an actress or anything big. And they feel like I am not that big. I don't have that huge size of me, you know? Whereas any of us is divining our own right, you know? We all have the possibility of creating our lives.
Right.
So we diminish ourselves quite a lot, unfortunately. And then this is goes so much beyond confusion, right? Because this is about embracing who we are.
Exactly.
And loving ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. So any ideas on why it's so hard for us to embrace who we are?
There is this aspect of social pressure, for sure, of shame, of putting other people's values above ours, and all criticisms that we take and how we integrate different episodes in life, be it how our parents talk to us or how other children talk to us. We can go through life facing many things that put us in doubting ourselves a lot. And it's so much about our own upbringing, because we can see such differences between people depending on what type of conversations they had at home or how their relationship with their siblings. There are so many things as we grow up that can shape that. And it's so individual in that sense. I mean, at the same time, there is this aspect of lack of self-responsibility, because keeping ourselves small also makes sure that we don't have to do the work. So it's very sneaky. When we human beings are very sneaky in our ways, and it's very easy to hide our real reasons why we do things.
Yeah.
But definitely to keep safe, it's one of them.
Yeah.
Because if you're not small, then you are vulnerable and you are in the eyes of everybody. And so you have to keep up. It's much more work. Visibility is work.
Yeah, it is work. I wonder why visibility is difficult for us. I mean, you know, you just mentioned all the shame and stuff, but it's also uncomfortable to live in a rut, you know? So, but I guess it's because we know it and we don't know the visible part and we get feedback from all the other people. I don't know. It seems like it's uncomfortable either way.
Yeah, we always think that everybody's paying attention to what we're doing, right? But most people aren't. Most people are too busy with their own things. At the same time, we do have a culture that is overcritical about the other, of pointing fingers, right? We see people gossiping and pointing fingers all the time. Whereas the spiritual path is a path of looking within and not without, of like pointing inwards. Because everything that I'm criticizing outwards is probably something that is hurting inside of me, that is even creating that comment that is so lacking love in its all. Right, you know?
Yeah.
So living in a planet that is not based on so much love as we wish it was,
right?
And we see all these pointing fingers, it becomes much more vulnerable for sure.
Yeah. Hello, beautiful souls. It's Karen again. Today, I have something special for those of you that are looking to infuse your days with a routine that brings you positive energy, peace, connection to self. If you've ever wanted to start a daily spiritual practice but have felt daunted by the idea, you're not alone in that. And I understand that setting aside hours for meditation or self-reflection just isn't feasible in our busy lives. So that's why I've created a guide that's tailored just for you. It's simple, effective, and the best part is it takes less than 10 minutes a day. So you don't need to overthink or overwhelm yourself. This is just about opening your heart and mind to small, powerful practices that are going to help bring immense positive changes. In this guide, you're going to find easy, accessible ways, and you get to pick the best way for you to connect with self, with soul, with the world around you. So if you are ready to begin a journey that nourishes your soul, that brings you closer to the oneness of life, visit RevKarenPodcast.com. That's R-E-V-K-A-R-E-N podcast.com. And look for the box that says, change your life with a simple daily routine. It's completely free, and it's a wonderful first step towards a more fulfilled and connected life. Now, back to the podcast for more insights and inspiration. So speaking of love, and I'm going to relate it to our heart center, our hearts. What does it mean to connect with our hearts, to be connected with ourselves?
It means to trust ourselves. That's the bottom line. Of course, when we are connected to our hearts, we're able to listen to it. Okay. That's a connection. Connection takes us to relationships, and everything is relationships, right? So you have two sides that are connected. And we can so easily disconnect from our hearts because we're too much in our minds or too much in our fears. So connecting to the heart is first the ability to listen. And just as any relationship, if you are connecting to your friend or to your mother, we need to make space for it, right? We are not talking at the same time they're talking. We're listening. We're paying attention. So to listen to the heart, we create space to the heart so we can start listening those whispers. But then when those whispers can be heard, do we trust and act on them? Because if we just listen to them but don't do anything about it, we're actually going to hurt ourselves even more. That creates self-deception and self-disappointment, you know? So the way to keep actually establishing that connection is by trusting the heart, by taking aligned actions with what the heart is saying. Because it's not only about feeling, it's about real manifesting what the heart is pointing towards. The heart is a visionary. The heart knows exactly what you need, what you want, and your dream. So our ability to trust ourselves enough to take action and live based on that, that's what builds the connection. Because only listening but not acting on it would actually disconnect even more, because it will create suffering.
Yeah. All right. So can you share a practice that people can connect with their hearts?
Yeah, it's of course. So one thing that I love talking about the heart is it's so much about creating a spacious heart. A healthy heart is light as a feather. When we talk about the heart, we talk so much about gratitude, which is our ability to receive. And it's beautiful if we can stop every day for a few minutes and just connect with what we're grateful for on that specific day.
Yeah.
Be it something that we experienced, somebody we bumped in on the street. We have so many things to be grateful for, right? Like simply going to the grocery and all the things that have to be in place for me to just be able to go there and buy food and not have to grow my own food.
Right.
So gratitude is something we often talk about the heart, which is our ability to receive, to take things in. So allowing to feel that receiving. Because many times we receive things, but we don't take it in. That it gives us a compliment. We say something right back.
Right.
The fact that we are being given something doesn't mean we are actually receiving it. So connecting to gratitude from this place of receiving, feeling it into your heart, letting it sink in, let it come in. And then on the other side of the coin, because if we just receive, our heart is not light as a feather because we're accumulating things. We have to give.
Okay.
And giving here, a beautiful way to give is forgiveness, letting things go, releasing from grudges. And it can be grudges that we have with ourselves, self-forgiveness, with small things that happened in our day. I mean, we don't need to start big. But letting that small thing that somebody did today that irritated you, let it go, like consciously forgiving it, letting it go.
Mm-hmm.
Something that happened in elementary school, that episode that still comes back, let it go. So every day, creating this moment of receiving, allowing things in and enjoying them, but also allowing something else to go away.
Yeah.
To not keep weighing you down.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful way to connect to the heart, because it's allowing things to come in and come out. And many times we cannot connect to the heart because we've built those walls of protection. And through this practice, we are slowly dissolving these walls of protection and allowing things in and out.
So forgiveness is difficult for some situations, for some people. I mean, I think it's difficult for me sometimes. And sometimes we say we forgive them or the situation, the event, but, you know, it still takes up energy in us. You know, we haven't really released it. Any ideas on what kind of a practice to help really release some of those things?
So first, it's good that we start small. We don't need to start with the biggest things in our lives. Okay. Creating this habit of forgiving, creating the habit of letting go, because we keep accumulating grudges. So if we can just start every day just letting it go, whatever is inside of us will slowly soften up. We need to have a little bit of self-compassion and patience. Some things are difficult and we cannot force them out. We also need to respect that sometimes we have our own time. We can do is keep on inviting the energy of forgiveness every day with those small things and little by little let them grow. So this is creating a practice of forgiveness as well. And it will get easier and easier. And when you least realize something much bigger is ready to go. Because most of the things we cannot forgive, they are somehow related. The same things that keep making us angry and upset. You know, we have these triggers. And what we're doing is also not only training the forgiveness, but softening the triggers little by little. So self-compassion and patience are super important in this aspect of self-love as well. Or will support the forgiveness. That is one thing.
Yeah.
There are many practices that are like stronger that we can do to force energy to move through us, but they're mostly more physical. They might put some tapping of the heart, making specific sounds, because I work a lot with energy as well. So a part of my work we can talk about, and we can do exercises that are more like smooth and simple, or meditations. Like many things are trapped in our bodies. We can feel it, you know, we feel our stomach contracting or our heart sinking, and we can do certain movements that support that energy that is stuck there to move.
You don't practice just in person, or maybe in person at all right now. Can you do that kind of stuff remotely, you know, over the internet, on a Zoom, or however you do it?
Normally, when I'm coaching clients, I give them practices that they perform often for a few weeks in between our meetings, because I practice it. Everything that I do is thinking in empowerment of giving tools to people that will support them to self-regulate so they can understand how the energy moves.
Right. If you had an opportunity to speak to the entire world and let them know something, you know, let them know that's going to help them for the rest of their lives if they only accepted it, what is it you want everyone to know?
That we shouldn't take life so seriously, that we could definitely play a little bit more. We're not here to hustle. Life is not a hustle.
Yeah, a little more playtime and enjoying a lot more playtime would benefit everyone, I think, benefit this world immensely.
Yeah, and even when things are serious, we can still do them with lightness, you know? We don't need to over-worry and over-complicate things so much.
Right.
Yeah.
I so agree with that. All right. Well, so we're kind of wrapping up here. And do you just want to let everyone know, to those that are listening, I will have links in the show notes, but where can people find you on the internet? And if there's anything special you want to talk about that you're working on?
Yes, so my website is aileendram.com. It will be definitely on your show notes. That's the best place to get to know about me. I have a free newsletter that I've been writing every Tuesday for the past 5 years, sending a free article on spiritual growth. So if you would like to just keep going further into this journey with me, you can go on my website and sign up there. There is also Instagram, aline.ra.m. Yeah, I have a few different free guides on my website. I think it's great if you're interested in spiritual growth to just go to my website and see what calls you. I'm launching a course in March called Heart Awakening. So it's an online course to help people to clear and balance and connect their hearts. Yeah.
Okay, so that'll be on your website. And I know that you do have the mini class Live from the Heart available. Yeah. I went and checked that out. So it's fantastic. Thank you. The links, again, will be in the show notes. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. So it's, you know, good afternoon, evening to you. Good morning for me at the moment. But whenever the listener is listening, it's good day to you. Good night to you. So thank you for being here. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for having me, Karen. This was really sweet.
Absolutely. And listeners, viewers, thank you for tuning in. Look forward to connecting with you later and have a good week. Bye-bye. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to head over to RevKarenPodcast.com. That's RevKarenPodcast.com. There you're going to find the tools for finding more meaning and happiness in your own life. Plus, if you have a story that you want to share with me, either on or off the air, be sure to look for that form. Make sure you follow me so you get notified when new episodes drop. And also, I'd love to connect with you in my Facebook group, Connectedness with Rev Karen. So head over to RevKarenPodcast.com. I hope to see you there.